This message comes from Capital One. Your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services backed by the strength of a top 10 commercial bank. Visit CapitalOne.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
This is the 1A Record Club.
The 1A Record Club. This is 1A.
1A.
1A Record Club.
Welcome to the 1A Record Club.
Today, we're going to do some switching between radio broadcasts. We'll let Willie Nelson explain.
Welcome to the Smoke Hour on KNTRY Radio Texas. You know my name, no need to know yours. Now, for this next tune, I want y'all to sit back, inhale, and go to that good place your mind likes to wander off to. And if you don't want to go, go find yourself a jukebox. Thank you.
We're taking a dip into KNTRY Radio. That's the official radio station by Beyoncé Knowles Carter in her latest album, Cowboy Carter. In 27 tracks and a little over an hour, Beyoncé takes us into a string of sounds rooted in country music, including her takes on some classics.
Jolene, 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 I'm warning you, don't come for my man.
And her take on a classic brand.
Boy, I let you be my Levi jeans, so you can hug that thing all day long.
After the break, the 1A Record Club breaks down the sounds and history Beyoncé explores in her latest project. I'm Jen White. You're listening to the 1A Podcast, where we get to the heart of the story. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Waves popping out your phone.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Betterment, the automated investing and savings app. CEO Sarah Levy shares how Betterment's innovation can help Americans save.
The real innovation for Betterment about a decade ago was taking a set of tools that were used by the ultra wealthy and making them accessible to the average investor. And that includes tax strategies, that includes dollar cost averaging, that includes taking a long-term view and not getting distracted by market volatility. These are all sort of tricks of the trade. And what Betterment did is they basically said, no matter the amount of money you have, it's always good to be invested. It's always good to start early. It's always good to save. And the power of being consistent in your habits is really the path to long-term wealth.
Learn more about automated investing and saving at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance not guaranteed.
Let's bring in our guests. Reese Palmer is a singer, songwriter, and host of Color Me Country Radio with Reese Palmer. Reese, it's great to have you. Welcome.
I'm so excited to be here. I'm a 1A stan.
Also with us is Taylor Crumpton. She's a music, culture, and politics writer and a regular contributor to the 1A Record Club. Taylor, welcome back.
Jen, it's so good to be here with y'all.
Oh, she threw in the y'all. Yes, we will y'all all hour. Beyoncé released the first two tracks from this album on Super Bowl Sunday. About a month and a half later, we have the project in its entirety. Taylor, what sticks out to you about this album?
It is a testament to Beyoncé's knowledge of music, of America, of American cultural productions and reference to music, and the ways in which she's able to take us through all of these genres, through the lens of a Western, through the identity of her as a Black woman from the South. I mean, she's not only doing what music needs to do, but I think also inspiring conversations in pop culture about the history and the origins of music in this country.
Reese, you're a singer and songwriter. What do you think about the sounds Beyoncé explores in this album compared to her other work?
I actually think that this album is right in line with what Beyoncé does. Like, I think to call it just a country record is not necessarily fair because there's a lot of other stuff in there. Like, there's gospel, there's some classical stuff, there's pop, there's rock. There's a lot of nods to a lot of things. But I mean, that's true for, that's how Lemonade was. Mm-hmm. That's how B-Day was. And, you know, like everything that she's done from B-Day on has been kind of like this tour de force of a lot of different genres. So this, to me, falls right in line with what she does.
Well, let's listen to the second track on the album. It's a cover of the 1968 Beatles song Blackbird, and it features Tanner Adele, Brittany Spencer, Tierra Kennedy, and Raina Roberts.
Into the light of a dark black night. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly.
Learn to fly.
When I saw the title of the track, Blackbird, I said, wait, is it that Blackbird? And then I heard it, and I was so moved by this song. Taylor, what's the significance of Blackbird being the second track on the album?
You know, Blackbird, as a lot of us know, is inspired by the civil rights movement and specifically the Little Black Girls of the Little Rock Nine. So it has a tie to Black womanhood, Black girlhood, and especially what that meant during the civil rights movement in the 1960s. And as Reese said, you know, this album is playing a lot with genres outside of country music. And when you have Tanner Adele, Brittany Spencer, Tierra Kennedy, Raina Roberts with Beyonce, she almost is like a divine mother, a holy mother, but they're all united because of their lived experience of Black women in American music, and the latter of them, Black women in country music, which has been so harmful to them because of their lived identity. So when you hear them together, right, there is this harmony, there is this melody, there is this exchange, this passing of the torch. But I also think Beyonce taking on this role of I will protect you, I will uplift you, I will support you, which is what a lot of the mothers of the civil rights movement did to the younger generation.
I want to hear another track. This one is Just for Fun.
Oh, just getting used to it. I'm going down south. Fun, I am the man I know, and everywhere I go, I hide my face from the cowboys and clothes.
So we hear Willie Jones singing there with Beyonce. Reese, what do you make of the sounds of other contemporary artists on this album, how they're incorporated into the album?
I wish it was more. I mean, Willie's a friend, and Willie is an artist that I just think is the future, because he does all these things. Like, I want everyone that listens to this record and is intrigued by Willie to go and listen to his song, American Dreams. It's incredible. And it shows you, I think it's a great dichotomy that he has within him, and the song shows both. Willie is really genuine as a rapper, and Willie is really genuine as a country singer. And it shows through that particular track. And so I'm just glad that, like, I'm glad he's in the room. I'm glad he has a writing credit. Yeah. And I'm glad that he gets to be on this song. But, like, y'all, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Taylor, how did the other artists featured on the album, to your mind, how did they add to the project itself?
Stick out for me is Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson. And I think Willie in particular as the radio DJ has multiple meetings, because Beyonce is someone who uses one thing to explain several. You know, Willie Nelson was a radio DJ. And in the weeks leading up to the release of Cowboy Carter, we heard from radio stations and country radio DJs that refused to play 16 Carriages in Texas Hold'em. So I think it's a full circle moment that she has him as the radio DJ on Cowboy Carter being the gatekeeper, but also I think the door opener. And then Dolly, someone who has always admired Beyonce, also having such a voice in this album.
One of you said, so far, Bodyguard and Two Most Wanted are my favorites. Beyonce and Miley Cyrus's voices together are perfection. And that's the track we're hearing now. Coming up, Beyonce's homage to Black country artists on Cowboy Carter. That's just ahead.
Till the day I die.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Amgen, a biotechnology pioneer leading the fight against the world's toughest diseases such as cancer, heart disease, asthma, and osteoporosis.
In a new era of human health, Amgen continues to accelerate the pace of change, operating sustainably and drawing upon deep knowledge of science to push beyond what's known today. With each decade, they reliably deliver powerful new therapies to patients. Learn more at Amgen.com.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Bluehost. Try Bluehost Cloud, the hosting plan made for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, fast load times, and 24/7 support, your sites can handle high traffic spikes. Visit Bluehost.com. This message comes from NPR sponsor Bluehost. Try Bluehost Cloud, the hosting plan made for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, fast load times, and 24/7 support, your sites can handle high traffic spikes. Visit Bluehost.com. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Integrative Therapeutics, with vitamins and supplements previously available only through practitioners, including Cortisol Manager. Unlock your best self with clinician-curated supplements from Integrative Therapeutics, now on Amazon.
I'm going to take a guess that this weekend, many of you spent a little more than an hour, or maybe several hours, listening to Beyoncé's new album, Cowboy Carter. Now, the album gets back to Beyoncé's country roots, something she did on the big stage in 2016 at the Country Music Awards. That was Daddy Lessons being performed at the Country Music Awards. Beyoncé performed that with the Chicks. 8 years later, Cowboy Carter is a full album of country sound and some other sounds, too. When Beyoncé announced the album cover, she included a note to say the album was, quote, born out of an experience that I had years ago where I did not feel welcomed, and it was very clear that I wasn't. But because of that experience, I did a deeper dive into the history of country music and studied our rich musical archive. That experience mirrors issues that have long existed in country music and the industry. Here's part of a conversation we had with musician Rhiannon Giddens in 2019 about when she decided to pick up the banjo.
I got into the banjo, you know, and started going, oh, is it, you know, can I play this music? Because there's this overwhelming assumption that it has nothing to do with the black side of my culture. And yeah, it made me angry because I was like, if they're hiding this massive thing, what else aren't they telling me, you know? And it had really massive ramifications for how we look at American culture, how, you know, how we other, you know, each other within American culture. And when you look at the history, there is no other.
That's Rhiannon Giddens, who also appears on the track Texas Hold'em on Beyoncé's latest album, Cowboy Carter. Now, Beyoncé collaborates with legendary artists on this album. We heard about Willie Nelson and Dolly Parton, but perhaps most notably, Linda Martell. Here she is on the track Spaghetti.
Genres are a funny little concept, aren't they? Yes, they are.
That Beyoncé,
in theory, they have a simple definition that's easy to understand. But in practice, well, some may feel confined.
Reese, tell us about Linda Martell and her importance in music history.
So Linda Martell was, until Texas Hold'em, the highest charting black female country artist ever. And that was in the 20s. She's one of eight. There have only been eight of us. I'm one to ever chart on the Billboard Country Charts. And she's the namesake of my show. That's where the name of Color Me Country came from, was her, from her first album. So for those who aren't familiar, Linda Martell released Color Me Country in 1970. Her first single, Color Him Father, came out in 1968, making her the highest charting black female in history until Texas Hold'em. She was the first black woman to ever play the Grand Ole Opry. She would tour. She had a white band and wasn't allowed to ride in the same car as them in the South, because she could possibly be arrested for being a prostitute, if that's what the cops thought, that that's what she was doing. She was signed to Shelby Singleton, and the name of the record label was Plantation Records.
Wow.
Yes. No, it's a whole, that's a thesis statement right there. But Linda released three singles, all of which charted, all of which were semi-successful. And I mean, especially considering what was going on at the time, and she was hailed as the female counterpoint to Charlie Pride. Unfortunately, Shelby Singleton then found Jeannie C. Riley in Harper Valley PTA and decided to pour all of his resources into that. And so a second album that Linda had started working on then ceased production and they shelved it. And between disputes with her manager at the time and Shelby Singleton, she was dropped. She left the label, was effectively blacklisted in Nashville, moved back to South Carolina, raised her babies, drove a school bus, and continued to sing in the small town that she was in. But country music, the industry moved on, as the industry does. And so this story was not really told for a really long time. And I decided in 2020 that, you know, after my own career highs and lows, that I wanted to create a place, a safe place to have these types of conversations for a Black artist, and decided that Color Me Country was the perfect name for that, an homage to her. So she's the patron saint of my show. And, you know, her family now is working on a documentary about her life. Her granddaughter, Kia, you know, they're raising funds for that to make that happen because they're trying to keep it all in-house. Because again, back in the 60s, artists were signed to these very, very confining, one-sided contracts. And for a very long time, Linda didn't receive any royalties or anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's also featured in a track called The Linda Martell Show that segues into the song Ya Ya. I want to listen to a bit of that.
We want to welcome you to the Beyonce Cowboy Carter Act 2 in a rodeo chilling circuit. We're going to make it do what it do, Ya Ya. Put them hands together. We clapping. We drumming.
There's so much context in this album, and it's not something that is readily apparent, right? It's the kind of album that makes you do research. But what do you make of the context that's embedded in this album? It's not just music.
Ya Ya is a great example. You know, I think for everyone who listened, we said this is the Tina Turner tribute, right? This is her bringing someone who she considered a mentor and a mother and paying auditory homage to her. And when we hear Ya Ya, I think our minds go to the infamous Ike and Tina Turner review where she's the front woman and she's dancing and she's singing. And for that to be, you know, included on a line when she's talking about the Chitlin Circuit, which is a venue that Ray Charles and Tina Turner and Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald, this is where those legendary generation of Black entertainers performed during the 1930s and the 60s because they were not allowed to perform at these other venues because of their race and their gender, right? So even when we look at the track list for the album and the way it's displayed, it is an homage to that long, rich musical history that Black entertainers of generations prior to Beyoncé had to perform and do because they were not allowed on the stages that Beyoncé so regularly welcomed at. And even the word Chitlin, which is a soul food dish, which is made of pig intestines, some of these entertainers were paid in chitlins instead of money for payment, right? So just like Reese so beautifully talked about the terrible mistreatment that Linda Martell experienced as an artist signed to Plantation Records, Beyoncé is doing the same with this track list and how it is presented to listeners and to the world.
Taylor, when you listen to this album, and we're putting it again within the context of that broader history, what conversations are you seeing come out of this album?
John Baptiste, a New Orleans musician, recently wrote about his contributions to American Requiem and alluded to this conversation he had with Quincy Jones that says, it's up to you to decategorize American music, which is what Duke Ellington told Quincy back in his day. So you have even when Beyoncé says, look at there, look at there, that was originally written in Louisiana vernacular. And we know that Beyoncé is also paying homage to her Louisiana roots and that multicultural lineage that she comes from, right? And I think the album is making you question who is allowed to be an American, what does an American look like, what does an American music look like? And I think the conversation that I'm really seeing on social media and among my peers in the industry is, why would she not do this, right? What is so impactful about a Black woman being the ambassador to the world about American music and American culture? Because for folks who may not know this, the original album was her Lady Liberty inspired pageant sash with the original spelling of her name, right? So this whole entire project for years has been Beyonce articulating, discovering what it means to be American and what it means for a Black American to do country and be of this country. So I think she's wanting to shape conversations around identity and nationalism and pride, and also hold a mirror up to the world and see what happens when I, a Black woman from the South, a Black woman from Texas, decides to take ownership of this and see how they attack me or mistreat me or mischaracterize me like so many entertainers that have done this before.
Reese, you're a singer and songwriter. How do you describe your music and how it fits into the broader musical lexicon?
Well, I mean, in 2007, I was the first Black woman in 20 years to be on the Billboard Country Chart with my song Country Girl. I consider my music to be, I call it Southern Soul because it's a mixture of country, R&B, and gospel, like all the things that I'm influenced by. And yeah, that's how I categorize myself. I call it Southern Soul.
Southern Soul. Well, let's pause here. Still to come, how Beyoncé's success in the country music genre does or doesn't extend to the other artists that have long been there. We'll be right back.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Noom. Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, helps you build new habits for a healthier lifestyle. Check out The Noom Kitchen for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
It's the 1A Record Club, and today we're all about Beyoncé's new album, Cowboy Carter. Let's hear some more from the album. This is the song Tyrant, introduced by Dolly Parton.
Just tell me how
DA got that.
Oh, she got that water. Hangman got that water. Don't act like you don't know.
Giddy up.
Now, on March 20th, an image was projected onto the Guggenheim Museum in New York City, and it said, "This ain't a country album, this is a Beyoncé album." The Guggenheim said it wasn't aware Beyoncé would use the museum as part of the album's promotion, but it takes me back to what we hear from Linda Martell as she leads into the track Spaghetti. She says, "Genres are a funny little concept, aren't they?" Yes, they are. In theory, they have a simple definition that's easy to understand, but in practice, well, some may feel confined. Hey, Taylor, how do you see Beyoncé playing with this idea of genre in this album?
She is having so much fun pushing genre, pushing what we think of genre, pushing the definition of that, because when folks think of the word country, you know, there's the stereotypical bro country, there may be the divas of country, but for country folks in Texas, when we say country, it is a signifier of identity. It's also almost a sticking of the thumb, a biting of the nail, because in Texas, country is also hip hop. DJ Screw, who made Chopped and Screwed, come from the country of Texas. Pimp C of the legendary hip-hop group UGK came from the country of Texas. So in Texas, when Black folks who are country from Texas, it means more than the fiddle and the banjo. Yes, that's included, but we're bringing all of us and all the music that we like and enjoy and grew up with into our country. So I think when she says this is not a country album, this is a Beyoncé album, she's playing with that dichotomy and that duality to say, oh, you may think it's one thing, but I'm actually going to show you what country means to me and how I embody it through this album.
Reese, as a singer-songwriter, how have you experienced genre and how it shapes perhaps how your music is received, depending upon who's defining what that particular genre is?
Well, I think, unfortunately, identity is very closely connected to genre and who gets to be country and who doesn't get to be country. I will never forget my very first review ever for my debut song, Country Girl, said that I was more Dirty South than I was country. Mm. And that has never left me. It has always stuck with me. And so I have a lot of respect because I love country music so much. I have a lot of respect for what is deemed traditional country music, and that's what I grew up on. And so I personally felt like to call me a traditional country artist is not true, because in comparison to traditional country artists, quote unquote, my music is very different and has a lot of other influences in it. And so that was a personal choice for me to not use that moniker, because, you know, I think it's more than that. I think it includes a lot of other things. But Linda said it perfectly. Genre really is a tricky thing. And I think genre really is one of the last racial barriers in a lot of ways in music.
Well, let's take a listen to Sweet Honey Buckin' featuring Shaboozey.
Casey the boots, check. You can hear when I step. All the Chevy and painted it red. Money long, it can't fit in the bag.
Reese, what do you hope comes out of this discussion Cowboy Carter has sparked around genre, who gets to be a part of it, and who's excluded?
I really hope that the conversation will eventually go towards the artists in the space. Like, when we talk about it, like, the people that have been here for years, people that precede me, the people that were my peers, the people that are coming after me, that we talk about making the country industry more available to them and more open to them. Because my fear is that once, you know, Texas Hold'em, well, not a fear, this is what happens. When you listen to Texas Hold'em now on country radio, on the radio stations that are playing it, you won't hear another Black female after that on country radio. And so, like, my hope is, you know, unfortunately, there's only like 4 or 5 Black acts that are signed to major labels in Nashville. So I hope that when this is all over, that now we turn our eyes to the industry and have them make lasting, meaningful changes that will ensure that there will be 50 more Cowboy Carters, like, out there from different artists experimenting and trying things and becoming involved in the music. That's what I hope.
Taylor, we can talk about the album. When we talk about country radio, what are the dynamics playing out there?
You know, country radio is one of the few spaces in the music industry where it is so strict and fixed compared to the other genres, where there is a more sense of fluidity, a more openness, a more receptiveness, right? Country music still operates on this fixed structure and this binary that, as Reese alluded to, only allow a few to be played. And even the few who are played are tokenized and not really given the agency, the autonomy, and the resources to grow and develop into making this a sustainable long career. So for Beyoncé to be played and to make history is legendary, it's iconic. However, the radio cannot pat itself on the back for doing something that is the bare minimum. And I think that is the conversation that a lot of people are having is, okay, what is next? How is this going to be sustainable? Because what we're seeing on country radio is not only a racial issue, that's a labor issue, it's a gender issue. And why, out of all the industries that exist in the United States and the America, is this one so bent on keeping these segregation, exclusionary practices that disproportionately impact artists of color, Black artists, and women artists?
Reese, your thoughts.
The thing that I need everybody to understand about country radio is, which is different from any other type of radio, is country radio controls the way that you are able to move in the space. So if you're not being played on country radio, that means that you're not being asked to play festivals. That means that you're not being asked to open, like have opening act slots. That also means that you cannot be nominated for a CMA. You can't be nominated for an ACM. So no matter if you have a million streams, if you have a million followers on TikTok and on Instagram, if you are not alive on country radio, you essentially do not exist within the industry. So, like, the stronghold that country radio has on your ability to have a career, I can't emphasize that enough. And, like, I also want to say, just to give people an idea, what Beyonce was able to do in 4 days on country radio took Lainey Wilson, who is one of the biggest artists in the space, in the genre. She's won ACMs, CMAs, Grammys, everything on television. It took her 10 weeks to do the same thing with her last single. So this is like, you can't use Beyonce as an example. She's the exception. She's not the rule in terms of how fast the song was able to climb and all of that. And so, again, I hope that once we can kind of like scroll back a little bit and look at the bigger picture, you'll see that like the things that Beyonce has been able to do are miraculous. They're wonderful. It's awesome. Next sentence, not everybody is afforded that opportunity to do that. And so we need to look at the gatekeepers and the goalposts that are constantly moved and figure out how to harness our collective power to change that. That's what I hope.
Is some of that consumer driven though too, Reese? Because I mean, there was a lot of pressure put on radio stations to play Texas Hold'em. And so is some of it also about our willingness to step outside of some of our regular listening habits and look at artists who we haven't listened to before and give them a chance?
100%. Like that's, I mean, like if anything, if the message of this can be anything for the general public, especially the Black listening public, is that there is a whole community of Black artists that exist over here that are very proud to be Black and that are making really interesting music. And there has been no effort to try to bring a Black audience over to them. But at the same time, we also need y'all to venture over here too. Like if you really are a fan and you really do love this music, I hope that once you listen to Cowboy Carter, not only did you go and listen to the women that were featured on Blackbird or Willie Jones or Shaboozy, but that you also go to like the Color Me Country playlist and find some other artists or Country Frequency on Spotify and find some other artists that you can support. Because like the ecosystem exists, we just need y'all. Like we need y'all, and country music needs to figure out how to draw you and make you safe, feel safe in the space. But we need you to come too. Like that would be awesome.
Well, Beyonce wraps up the album with the song "Amen."
This house was built with blood and bone, and it crumbled. Yes, it crumbled. The statues they made were beautiful, but they were lies of stone. They were lies of stone. Trumpets blare.
Hey, Taylor, this song really speaks to what you said earlier about Beyonce really exploring what it means to be American. What other things do you think she's trying to say with this collection of songs?
You know, Beyonce is someone who puts herself in a position so that others may be able to find and identify with segments of themselves that they may have felt they couldn't be prideful about. You know, I think Renaissance had such an impact on ballroom culture and the ballroom community, who have always given to America, who have always given to American pop culture, but have not always been given the flowers and the platform and the stages they deserved. And that was Beyonce's intention with Renaissance. And we see with Cowboy Carter, she's doing the same thing, but with the overlooked, underappreciated Black folks in country, Black folks in Americana, and really shedding light on those generations of people who have been so impactful in that space, but so overlooked, who have laid the foundation for her to make Cowboy Carter and for us to have conversations about it today. I think she is using her platform and using her stature and using her celebrity to shine a light, to shed a light, and also welcome folks in. You know, a conversation that's having online is Act Three, is it going to be a gospel album? And she's always been an artist that's played with divinity and always been an artist that has used music as a way to congregate and convene people and almost put them in her own church, right? But through a streaming service and not the traditional church house. It's not lost on me that this album was released Easter weekend on Good Friday. So she's doing all of this. It's almost the American gospel soundbook of Beyonce.
We've been speaking to Taylor Crumpton. She's a music, culture, and politics writer, and Reese Palmer. She's a singer-songwriter and host of Color Me Country Radio with Reese Palmer. Today's producer was Jorgelina Manarea. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Jen White. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again tomorrow. This is 1A.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. Your social battery is precious, so make sure you're using it the way you want to. Therapy can help you figure out your social sweet spot. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the United States Postal Service. Turn shipping to your advantage with USPS Ground Advantage service. Learn how to gain a competitive edge at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
On NPR's Throughline,
we cannot function for 24 hours without cobalt, because it's in our smartphone, our tablet, our laptop. And as a consequence, the lives of the people living in that part of the Congo descended into just a catastrophe.
Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.